Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard. Good morning, good Lord Stanley Cup. The Washington Capitals are champions. Finally. Finally, for this city, the drought is over. January 26, 1992 was the last time this city won a major sports championship. The Washington Redskins defeated the Buffalo Bills 37-24. I remember it like it was yesterday, but it's not yesterday. It's today, and what a show we have. It is in all caps. We're talking caps. Bill Rowland, Bill, the voice of the George Mason Patriots basketball team and a caps guru. We're going to have him in on the second half of the show. Mark Gray, a multimedia programmer. Mark's going to come in, sports talk host. He's going to come in and talk more caps. And then we'll finish the show, last but certainly not least, Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, to kind of finish up on a segment we talked about last week about this mystical connection between the caps and the mystics. But first, we got to do our pay attention topic. And I thought about going all caps when I got to the pay attention topic, but not so much. I'll get right into it and give some other sports some shine because they deserve it as well. So last night, the Golden State Warriors defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers. They sweep them in four straight, and they become back-to-back NBA champions. This was awful for the NBA. It's awful for me and all of the fans of the NBA. Quite frankly, this is not entertaining. To have the same two teams playing the championship all the time. And you know what? That's kind of what I like about individual sports. Golf, track, tennis, bowling, whatever it is. It's kind of a different winner every week. And that's what made Tiger's greatness so great, is that he won so much. So many times. That's what makes Serena so great, is that she's been able to take this field of sometimes 300 people and beat them almost monthly. And that's what makes them so great. But when a team does it, it gets boring. The stories get lost. They get boring. They get old. They get tired. And this Golden State team, the way it was created and built as this super team, in today's world of free agency, those days are gone. And so every team, you know, a team like the lowly Milwaukee Bucks, these teams that don't live in major markets, now they got a chance. But when you stockpile a team, you got no chance. This game was awful. And this series was awful. This playoffs were awful. And, oh, by the way, Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, you might want to take a look at the NHL model, because two great stories. Win or lose, Vegas is a great story. Win or lose, the Caps are a great story. So you might want to take a look at it. Now, moving forward, you've got this whole LeBron piece. So what does LeBron do? Where does he go? Now we find out he had a broken hand because he punched a blackboard after the end of game one. NBA left some kind of loose ends out there, which is good, but very, very disappointing. Not entertaining. And you're in the Entertainment Business Association, and you didn't get it done. Let me move on. Next pay attention topic. So it's Simona Halep, and it's Sloane Stephens. French Open, and Sloane wins. And she's winning right now. If Sloane wins, is it time? And you know what I'm talking about. And no one wants to talk about it. Time with an injured, aging Serena. Is it time for the GOAT to pass the mantle to Sloane? Now, nobody wants to talk about this out loud, but I got to tell you, I got up early. I'm watching Sloane Stephens just basically go right through Simona Halep, 6-3 in the first set. She's up 2-0 in the second set. I got to tell you, it may be time that, you know, let's pass the mantle, Serena. You know, we don't like to see a GOAT stay past their welcome, right? So this may be time. Sloane Stephens, I think, is prime and ready. Maybe it's time. Next pay attention topic. You know that I am a college football fanatic, right? I know my college football inside and out. But I found a stat this week that even blew my mind. The stat was the top 10 teams with the toughest non-conference schedule. And keep in mind now, sure, your conference record is important, and that's what helps you go bowling. But it is the non-conference schedule that gets you in the playoffs. So I went through, and I said, okay, well, let's see who they are. Okay, UCLA. Well, UCLA's got a new coach. And they're coming out the gate with the 10th toughest non-conference schedule. I don't know who the AD is. Probably shouldn't have done that. Louisville. Louisville, you know, trying to kind of get back to the Lamar Jackson days of old. They're nice. I get it. We'll see what happens. Texas. All right. Now, you know how Hook'em Horns is. They don't – they just can't stand losing. They can't. Coming out with Coach Herman – in his third season, given the eighth toughest schedule, I don't know how smart a move that is. We'll see what happens. Stanford, my favorite coach, David Shaw, old school football, 330-pound lineman, a running back, Bryce Love, who, by the way, odds makers are saying is predicted to win the Heisman. So they've got a Heisman Trophy running back, huge offensive line, and a pro-style running game. Now, Stanford does well in the non-conference. And they win the Pac-12, which is a big if. Stanford's in the playoffs. You heard it here first. Stanford's in the playoffs. Arizona State. Come on. Come on, Herman Edwards. Who's setting you up, baby? Herman, how could you take this schedule? This schedule is brutal. You don't have any players yet. You're in the Pac-12. Herman, this shortens your contract right here. Arizona State, this is not good for them. Georgia Tech, you play in the ACC. You run Navy's bone-style offense from the 1920s. Georgia Tech, this is not good to have these. What are these teams thinking? I mean, I thought that the top 10 non-conference would be teams who, you know, basically are already powerhouses. But no, Georgia Tech, this is not good for you. Clemson, hey. Coming off of another great season. This is good for you, Clemson. You've got the talent. Dabo's got he's got the juice to get this done. They got the fourth toughest schedule. This is good for Clemson. If Clemson wins the ACC and they have the fourth toughest schedule, non-conference, guess what? They're in the playoffs. I'm making these predictions before Sports Illustrated or anyone else comes out. I'm making them. Florida State. All right, now this is the only thing that can derail Clemson is Florida State, new coach, and I love Coach Willie, love him. But his guys aren't there yet. It's his first season. I think Jimbo probably left him, you know, not with an empty cupboard, but I think that it's going to be tough on Florida State. This is not as good. I know they're in the ACC. It's better for Clemson. It's not as good for Florida State. I think they struggle. USC, again, the only way to derail Stanford is USC. Now, here's the thing. They lost their quarterback. Now, everyone knew they were going to lose the quarterback, right? Everyone knew that. But I just don't, it's hard to say they won't have talent because they're at USC and they're in Southern California. But the second toughest non-conference schedule, I don't know. Guess who's number one? Guess who stepped out there and said, you know what, we've got some fine recruits coming. We've locked in our coach. Hail to Pitt. The University of Pitt football program, my school where I spent 4 seasons on that sideline at Pitt Stadium, has the toughest non-conference schedule in college football. You don't believe me? They got Albany. Albany is tough. Albany's coming into the they're coming into 1A football after dominating 1AA football. They're going to be tough. Then they got Penn State. Everyone knows the rivalry, but this isn't, you know, Paterno Joe Pa's Penn State. This is James Franklin's Penn State. Confident is all outdoors. Now, they got that one in Heinz Field, but it doesn't matter. Because why? It's a rivalry game. Then they go to Central Florida. Come on, man. They go to Central Florida, a team who was undefeated last year and thought they should have won the national championship. And they aren't losing much. So that's going to be tough. Then they go to Notre Dame. Come on, man. Brian Kelly's got pressure. They're loaded with athletes still. Pitt played 3 road games in 4 weeks. And they play North Carolina in the ACC. Let me tell you something right now. I think we're going to get it done. And if we can handle our non-conference, dare say it. No, I won't say it. But Coach Narduzzi, I'm going to come up and see you in August. Hail to Pitt. Here's our pay attention topic. I'm going to say it once. I'm going to say it a million times. In 1992, January 26th, the Washington Redskins won the Super Bowl. There was a song by a country singer named Alan Jackson called Remember When. I just want to know, do you remember when the Nats lost in the division series last year, 9-8 to the Cubs? Or how about when the Nats blew a 6-0 lead to the Cardinals in 2012? Or how about the Wizards losing to Atlanta in the playoffs? Or how about the Wizards losing to the Celtics in Game 7? Or how about the Gilbert Arenas Wizards losing to teams like the Bulls and the Miami Heat in the second round? Remember when the Caps got swept by the Red Wings in 98? Remember when the Caps lost 12 times in the playoffs, fifth that loss in the Cup in 98? Remember when the Caps lost to the Penguins so many times, to include 2016 and 2017 to a goalie named Fleury, Marc-Andre? Remember when the Caps lost to Montreal in Game 7 in 2010, when they had the best record in the league? All the hurt, all the pain of the National Hockey League. That is the pay attention topic. Nothing else needs to be said. DC has a championship, finally. It's great for the city. It's great to see the communities pouring out of their houses, talking to one another, not on their phones, not being rude, not being buttoned up, but standing in the street. I don't know about pouring beer on each other's heads, but standing in the street in pure joy and jubilation as you finally got, finally, a champ. Congratulations to Barry Trotz. Well, of course, start at the top, Ted Leontis, son Zachary. Congratulations on running a really good program and staying the course. You drafted the best amateur player 13 years ago. You paid him well. You took care of him. He even has his own chef. Did you know that? He doesn't eat the team chef's food. He's got his own. But you took care of him. You stayed with him. You got him a running mate in Big Nose Backstrom. You got him a Jay Beagle. You stay with Brendan Holtby, and you put pressure on the coach. You told the coach, either win or you're fired. Congratulations, Barry Trotz. You just cashed in on the mother load. You have no contract, but guess what? You now get to negotiate a huge contract. Good for you. And congratulations to the captain, Ovechkin, and all of the Caps. But congratulations to D.C. and our fans. Look at the mayor. The mayor gave everybody off yesterday, and they're going to be off Tuesday for the parade. Everybody's happy right now in D.C. Will it transcend over to the Nats? I don't know. How about over in Ashburn? Are they looking? I know Ryan Kerrigan is. I don't know. We'll see. But for right now, I'm going to enjoy this ride. All Caps. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Bill Rowland. And guess what we're going to talk about? We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. And we are back on the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Keith Howard, and we are in a, I guess we call it a Rock the Red edition or a All Caps edition of the Extra Points Radio Show. And, man, I mean, where were you when they won it? That last 28 seconds, whew. And I thought we were going to get hosed on the clock because if you remember, the clock went out. And so I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Watch, they're going to come back and say it's like 2 minutes left in the game, and then they're going to tie it, and then they're going to win it. And it's, I just was like, I smelled a rat there. I mean, the game was in Vegas. You never know what may go down in Vegas. So I was feeling a little bit funny about that one. But, no, it all worked out. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, when you look at the people just out in the street, you know, just kind of just happy. I mean, it was. For some people, it's a generation that has not seen a championship, an entire generation. And so for that to finally happen, I was shout out to my man Sam over at PenFed. Sam was telling me that he's an avid listener, listens every week, appreciate that. And he's telling me how, you know, my kid's never seen a championship here in D.C. And I was like, you know what? That's a warm story to have a father and son be able to share that moment is a pretty good deal. And this city's missed out on all those moments. The moments have been heartbreak. You know, the moments have been where the kid's no longer interested because, I mean, who wants to keep cheering for a loser? So it's so much bigger. I mean, it just brings the entire community together. So, hey, New York fans, I see you out there and I know you're listening. You're just going to have to cope with some D.C. love this morning because you guys have been winning. I mean, you got Yankees and you got Mets and you got Islanders and Rangers and all that. Well, we can't say Knicks because the Knicks haven't won anything since Willis Reed. But nonetheless, I mean, it's just like, come on. D.C. finally win something. I just think it's great. So quick update. Sloane Stephens 6-3 in the first set. Down 3-2 in the second. So I hope I didn't jinx Sloane and crown her too soon. You know, as you know, Serena got an injury during the week. She had a pectoral muscle injury during a doubles match with Venus. And so she withdrew from the tournament. So it's tough, but I hope I didn't crown her too soon. Halep is up 40-30 and about to break Sloan. So if she breaks her, this set is as good as over, and then we got to go to a third set. So, hey, we're just waiting for Bill Rowland to come in, and so we'll keep talking some Caps hockey here. You know, one of the things that I thought about was the number of new fans to join in, and I think last week on her segment, on the Fit with Joy segment, she talked about, you know, really what Leontis did was kind of genius. He arguably two communities in the National Hockey League by having the Mystics play early, and then, you know, you could stay if you're a Mystics fan for the Caps watch party. And so I thought that was pretty interesting, pretty neat. To do it that way was pretty cool. So, hey, that's great marketing on his part. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I know Obi's going to be out at Nats Park today. And so with Obi being out there, you're bringing in now your baseball community, right? And I'm sure there's some baseball fans out there who, you know, never picked up a puck, never picked up a stick or anything. So, you know, I heard that when Ehlers made the game-winning goal over in Denmark, they were having a watch party. I didn't know Ehlers was from Denmark. And they, you know, they just went berserk. I mean, now you're talking a global audience. And everyone knows these communities. You know, you got people from all over the world that live here. Now, you know, it's just more and more and more. I mean, when you win, it just kind of – it has a snowball effect. Everybody wants to be a part of a winner. And Ted Leonsis has one. Now, I do know local sports anchor Lindsay Zarniak, at the end of the game or post-game commentary, did corner Leonsis about the whole White House issue and that. And obviously, for those of you that listen to the Extra Points radio show each and every week, and we appreciate you, Kingsley in New York, we appreciate you guys. You know, the president, you know, has been having, you know, back and forth with the NBA, and I know Golden State and of course Cleveland have already said they wouldn't come to the White House, and then he said, well, you're uninvited anyway. So, you know, it's like, well, this NHL piece, you just wonder, will the Caps attend? Don't know yet. But, hey, more all Caps and Rock the Red. We bring in Bill Rowland, and we are glad he could make it on a Saturday morning. I know everybody is busy. Bill, are you there?
Hey, what's up, Coach? How are you this morning?
I am doing great, man. You sound great. Thanks for joining us on the Extra Points Radio Show. It's all Caps, Bill. Tell me, where were you? What were you feeling like? Give me the whole thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was I watched at home. I didn't go down into the madness of D.C., although I was jealous for all the folks who were down there. I watched from my house like I did every single game of the playoffs. I made sure that I was in the same chair and had the same snacks. And not that it was going to help them, but it just made me feel better about keeping a routine. I mean, amazing. 44 years in the making, and I couldn't be happier for the city. And so many of my friends that have either worked for the organization in the past or that are there now or that have been through this like we all have of all the disappointments from years before.
Well, you know, it's funny that you're on the show this week because I was thinking about, you know, Modell stayed open all night. Dick's Sporting Goods was open at 6 a.m., blah, 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 people buying merchandise. The last time I ran out and bought merchandise was George Mason. If Tony Skin's point guard, they're going to the Final Four. I ran right over to the bookstore. The last time that I bought D.C. sports merchandise. So funny, we got, you know, the man for George Mason basketball on the air right now talking about it because that's the last time I've been out to the campus. What do you think about this whole thing in our community and just seeing all those fans? And, I mean, what does this do for our city?
See, you know what, Coach? I like the fact that for years – what was it that everybody said about hockey? There were 18,000 hockey fans in D.C., and they're the ones that went to all the games. Nobody else cares about this team. Nobody else thinks it matters. And then Ovechkin showed up, and it started the Rock the Red era, And for 13 years, it was just marked with, hey, it's really fun to watch one of the greatest scorers of his generation, but they're always out in the second round. It doesn't matter. You see that if you have a little bit of success, that the entire city is going to rally behind them, that the entire city is going to jump on the bandwagon. And I'm not one of these guys that says, hey, if you weren't there and remember 98 when they got swept in the finals, if you weren't around in 82 when they had to save the team from leaving the city only after 8 years it had been here, I don't want you around. Heck no, I want hundreds of thousands of people at that parade on Tuesday, man. It is so good for the city. And the rest of the teams in the city, whether it's the Wizards, the Nats, the Redskins, on and on, because now those guys and those organizations see what this city is like when somebody wins a title. They are number four probably in the pecking order around here. If the Wizards, if the Nats, if the Redskins were to win another title, how much bigger is a celebration than the Caps, where a lot of people don't know the difference between offsides and icing or anything else. They just know it's fun to watch these guys win.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, all those points are right on and accurate. Here's the thing, though. Now, let me give you a little pushback on our excitement. Let me throw some gas on this thing.
Sure.
Whenever you got a winner and you got a winning city, it's always kind of, all right, now what? So you got an owner that's got to deal with the president and whether or not we're going. That's out the gate. You got a coach that's a free agent. You got an aging superstar, and you got two key free agents. I mean, you got a list of free agents, but Beagle and Carlson are free agents and don't make a ton of money. What's going to happen here now? DC loves a good controversy. I'm going to throw some water in the cup right now, and we got a problem. Or can I go, all right, now let's talk about repeat. Which one is it?
Well, I'll say this. It took 44 years to get one. Let's enjoy and get past Tuesday before we worry about two. But I will say this. It's hard to repeat. And you pointed out a lot of good things. Ovechkin is 32. He's got less on the back end than what's behind him. I mean, he's on the downward slide of his career. Doesn't mean he's not still a great player, but his best hockey is probably behind him rather in front of him. You mentioned Carlson and Beagle. There isn't a defenseman out there that's a restricted or an unrestricted free agent that put the same numbers that John Carlson did. The Caps would like to keep him. It's going to be tough because of the Caps. Same thing with Beagle. While he doesn't have gaudy numbers, he was a fantastic face-off guy. You need those type of guys. So those two guys not being back next year, if that's the case, will change the dynamic of this team. On the other side of things, though, and I'm not saying that they will repeat, I think they'll be back in the playoffs next year. And once you're in the playoffs, you've got a shot. They've got a top five goaltender in the league in Holtby when he's on his game. They've got some impressive young talent. You saw it this year with Koski. They've got young defensemen like Orlov. They've got a core group of guys that are going to be around for the next few years that they may not win another cup, but at least they'll be in the conversation every time that team makes the playoffs, because now that they've done it, those guys know it can be done. It's not like, well, can you break through? Well, can you get to the finals? They know they can get there. They've still got some young pieces to do it, but you bring up the most important one you brought up, Coach, was Barry Trotz. And it will be amazing to me to see what happens with him, because 2 months ago, when the playoffs started, there's no guarantee he's coming back. And when they got down 0-2 to Columbus, the conversation was he was finished if they didn't get out of the second round, let alone beat Columbus. Beating Pittsburgh probably saved his job. Winning the cup means he can name his price.
Well, and that name the price thing, I don't think Leonsis has ever been in that predicament. Now, I know that he pays the basketball coach. In my opinion, that basketball coach is overpaid, right? I mean, I know he's a generous guy. He flew 200 employees out and all that. But at the end of the day, the shrewdest people are the ultra wealthy people. And he's never been in this, and it's going to be very public, because it was public that, like you said, the guy was out of town when they were 0-2 to C-Bus. He was gone. So it's going to be interesting to see how Leonsis deals it, because he can't say no. He can't say no, but yet Trotz is like, I just won you a cup. I mean, Trotz just really the Penguins thing, all of that, like, I don't know. So it will be interesting. And, you know, they kind of got to deal with that one before they deal with anything else. I mean, they got to deal with that one, like, now. Now, it would be great if Trotz was like, well, I don't want to coach anymore, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. But he's still got hair on his head. The skate around that he does before the game, he looked pretty good to me.
Yeah.
He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, man, I tell you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he's only 55, so he's not an older coach where you could see, you know, if this was like a Scotty Bowman when he's in his 60s with Detroit and you win a cup and you walk off the stage and say, that's it, I'm done, I've reached the pinnacle. He's 55. He's still probably got, if he wanted to, I would imagine another decade of coaching. Right now, though, the only trump card that Leontis may have is the only job open in the NHL right now is the Islanders. The Islanders isn't a great job as far as, hey, they could be right there next year, but they've got some young talent they could build around. The Caps' job in the next 2 to 3 years, probably better than the Islanders. So it's up to Trotta if he wants to try to go and do I'm not going to call it a rebuild, but a retooling of the Islanders rather than trying to keep the Capitals on top. That's going to be what he has to weigh. The three options, walk off into the sunset, try to retool the Islanders, or bring them all back together and make another run with it with the Caps.
Listen to Bill Rowland, voice of the George Mason Hoops team and Caps fan and guru. So you brought up two things that I love. One was you kind of gave a little bit of a diss to a New York sports team. We have probably as many New York folks listening as D.C. people listening, so I'm glad you can always do that. But then you said the other thing that trumps it. So I got to ask you about that one. So – LeBron, I'm not going. Steph Curry, I'm not going. Eagles, I'm not going. Lindsey Zarniak kind of cornered Leontis the other day and said, hey, are you going to take a trip down to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? And he gave the obligatory, let me enjoy it right now. But I'm going to ask Bill Rowland, what do you think? He's got to deal with that one right now. I think the team goes. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I saw what Devontae Smith-Pelly said the other day, and I completely respect it. And the reason I respect the way Smith-Pelly put it is because he prefaced it with saying he doesn't know a lot about politics. He's also Canadian, which should make a difference as far as your opinion on what's going on in this country and with this president. But he basically said, you know, look, I don't get into the politics, but I just don't enjoy what the guy's been saying, and some of this stuff rubs me the wrong way, so I'm not going to go. He never prefaced it. He never put it out there that we shouldn't go, meaning his team. He just said he wouldn't go. Now, this is a really sticky situation for me because no matter how you feel about Trump, I'm one of these people that looks at it and says, I don't care who's in the White House. To me, it's not about celebrating him. I'm celebrating my team. And one of the perks for however many decades has been going on is your team gets to go and have its moment in the sun at what is the pinnacle in this country and, quite frankly, in the world for freedom and everything else. Who cares who's in the White House, quite frankly? I would go no matter what just because it's, to me, kind of a perk. And I honestly don't believe in my heart, just like the guys who kneel for the anthem, aren't trying to show up the military or anything else. They've got their own reasons on why they do it, and they're very good reasons. For me, going to the White House doesn't mean that I support Trump. Going to the White House means it's another day for my fans and for my city to be able to look and celebrate us because it's going to be everywhere. So me personally, I would go, but it's not an endorsement of who the president is. It's an endorsement of what that means, of the privilege of going to that White House who – That place isn't owned by Trump. It's owned by the American people. So, again, people have their different lines on politics, and no matter what they decide, I'm fine with it because it's their personal decision. Me personally, I would go because it would mean more to me as an American looking at being able to say, hey, you know what? I'm being celebrated in the top place of our government. I'm going 10 times out of 10. I don't care who's in the White House because it ain't about them. It's about what I accomplish.
Bill, that's a great extra point. And it's funny how small the world is and how this game, this Stanley Cup is bringing everybody together. I got your old buddy Mark Gray on deck. He's up next. I know you and him have worked together before in the past, and he's going to conclude because he wrote a great article. I know you do, and he told me same thing to you. He says hello. He wrote a great article about Chocolate City and hockey, and it was a great article. I saw it out on LinkedIn, and I said, you know what? I got to reach out to Mark, and when I told him you were going to be on, he goes, oh, I got to come on. So I got him on deck, Bill. Thanks so much for squeezing us in on a Saturday morning. And definitely, when it gets close to hoops time, I'm going to call you back. We talk Mason Hoops.
Coach, you got the number. I'm willing to come on anytime. Thank you very much. And tell Mr. Gray I said hello. And I look forward. I'm going to look for that article now. I look forward to reading it.
Hey, I'm encouraged to keep listening to, on this all cat. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark, you're all set up. I knew it was going to be a busy day. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I am. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I know you caught the tail end of Bill's conversation. I'm going to dive right into your article. Chocolate City, hockey. What in the heck were you writing about in this article? And tell us about this Stanley Cup thing and all that for our community. What's going on?
Well, I just find, and thanks for having me on Extra Points. My whole thing, and I'm not new to this hockey fandom. I'm one of those people that, you know, was old enough to remember when the Capitals first came here and how we had like four, maybe five TV stations. And, you know, there was this passing fancy where you would watch hockey games on Channel 20. And just see these guys skating around, and the Capitals would always lose. But you still watch because you are a sports dude, and you just, you know, wanted to watch sports no matter what time it was on. Let go and watch hockey. All right, cool, it's on. So there wasn't a whole lot of black folks that was into hockey at the time, man. It was like, what are you watching? You don't know what you watch. And so I grew as a hockey fan by watching bad Capitals teams. And, you know, that's the team that's around your way. So you pull for the team that's around your way. And this was one of those moments where, you know, in a town that's still maybe not as chocolate as it once was, there was somebody on my timeline who actually said that Chocolate City now was more like a vanilla swirl, which I thought was pretty funny. But you know, I just thought it was ironic that here we got a town with a significant primarily black demographic who's now embraced hockey with the success of the team. And upon further review, as they like to say in the NFL, you look at what the Capitals have been historically, they've been one of the few hockey teams that have openly embraced bringing black players in. And since hockey still has to deal with, you know, there's a race issue in hockey. You know, it's North America's soccer, so to speak, in that regard. So to watch how this this moment sort of unified a city under the umbrella of a championship was truly a great social thing. And at least for a little while, we can get away from the politics of divisiveness, which are adversely affecting us socially, and I thought that was what was personified most of all on Thursday night into Friday morning was the fact that whether you were in Chinatown, down by the National Harbor, up by Farragut North, I mean, you saw, you know, black folks and white folks, Hispanics. It wasn't about, you know, whether you're black, brown, you know, white, Asian. It was about rocking the red. I thought that was a great, great moment in time. And I just thought that, you know, having been a long-suffering fan and died with him in 87 at 2 o'clock in the morning in a Game 7 loss to the New York Islanders through three losses when you're up, I guess, 3-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins to two President's Cups and you know, and all that kind of stuff, and you're not able to get through the first or second round, it makes the cup even more sweet, and it's just something that, you know, is exhilarating. I'm still on the rush.
Well, Mark,
let me ask you this question, Mark.
So, and you listen to X Points Radio Show. We got Mark Gray, sports talk host all over the place, former ESPN guy, multimedia programmer. I love that as a title. Let me ask you this, Mark. You got this guy, Devontae Smith-Pelly, who arguably he made some timely goals, not just in the cup playoffs, but throughout the playoffs. He's already said, I'm not going to 1600 Pennsylvania. I'm not going. I just don't like the way the guy's views what he's saying. I'm not going. So tell me this now. What are your thoughts on does the team go, Mark, or do they not go, or what, you know, because, I mean, if he says he's not going and the rest of the team goes, is this now already kind of a splinter in, you know, in the program?
Well, all right, let's be real for a second. Tom Brady didn't visit the White House when the Patriots went the last time because of planned family vacation. So this whole notion that people not blowing off the White House while the rest of the team goes certainly doesn't, erode the camaraderie of the clubhouse, or in this case, the locker room. I think this is, you know, really what American freedom is all about, the freedom of choice. You know, so with that being said, he got a Smith-Pelly that has a difference of opinion, and he doesn't want to spend quality time with the President of the United States, and he's still a Canadian citizen. So I don't think it's going to be splintered because, A, most of the guys that's going to the White House are Russian anyway. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be up in there no matter what. But, you know, the point I was trying to make is that the thing that's going to revere Devontae Smith-Pelly with certainly the black and evolving Capitals fan base is not only did he make that statement before game number five, he went out and scored the game-tying goal. And when you frame everything into historic context, I mean, to me, that's almost like Joe Namath saying, yo, show up, we're going to win the game. And then they go out and beat the Colts in the Super Bowl III. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're going
to
talk it, you got to walk it. And he's walked it. And the fact that, he's a black Canadian, which I don't think that, you know, people fully embrace as novice hockey fans. I'm fortunate to know Damon Kwame Mason, who was the executive producer of Soul on Ice, a guy who's basically, sold his house and leveraged all kinds of finances to produce the most significant documentary on black hockey players. And, you know, hockey being Canada's national pastime, there are a lot of black hockey players in Canada. I mean, they go to the frozen ponds in the wintertime, like we go to Rucker and Berry Farms here in D.C. to either watch or participate in pickup games. Pickup games in Canada are with hockey sticks, where ours are with basketball. That's what they do. So when you look at all that, that goes into the melting pot from a historic context, and just the way, you know, D.C. demographically, politically, and socially roll, he's the perfect lifetime capital right now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy could be revered, and I mean, when you look at black sports icons, certainly in D.C. of my generation, I think there are two to stand out to me. There would have to be Wes Unseld, who was Mr. Bullet Wizard Everything, and Doug Williams. And I think that if he sticks around long enough, and certainly if he's a part of another championship and plays as well as he did during the course of these postseason series, that Smith Pelly will be on that Mount Rushmore of that black D.C. sports icon. Well, I think you probably would only have to add Bobby Mitchell after that, and his greater Hall of Fame player he was more about, you know, the social things that he did to break down the walls to make it so a Canadian, an African-Canadian hockey player can get his man here in the nation's capital. I just think that, you know, he's the kind of guy that's great if he chooses to be. You know, hopefully he'll get out in the community and share his story because he's a great ambassador right now for the sport, and he has the credibility to do it because he helped bring a championship home, which is something that Donald Brashear and the rest of the great Capital black players that were integrated into the NHL through D.C. Never were able to do.
Mark, I tell you what. I could talk about this topic all day long. I'm glad you wrote that piece because I've been kind of thinking it, but I hadn't said it, and by you writing it, it allowed me to put some words behind it as well. Man, you're always welcome to the show. We're gonna get the ladies in here, so we got another guest because it's all cats. But we appreciate you squeezing us in on a Saturday morning, Mark.
Hey, thank you. And I just wanted to say that's the one thing that really stuck out to me. I'm not going to give any plugs to certain watering holes that I watched some games through, but to see African-American black women in droves going to games, you know, you see them hanging out. They watch basketball. They watch football. But I saw that same passion for hockey right now. And, you know, it's amazing what you can see when you have a championship program and you even got people who look like you and how it resonates with the fan base on you know, both sides of the agenda aisle.
You got it, Mark. Well, hey, we're going to have you come back in closer to training camp. We're going to have you come back in and give us a little more expertise.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
All right. All right. Well, we go from Mark Gray right on over to Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, who, and we were just talking about, you know, sisters and how this is affecting them and really specifically the Mystics. Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, are you there?
Fit with Joy here. Thanks for having me, Coach.
Oh, no, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, so you were out there. You got the Rock the Red Towel and the cup and all that good stuff. You were right there on the scene. You've heard two people now describe it, you know, in an interview format, but I think you get the gist of it. I mean, what say you on this whole Caps championship thing? What say you?
Well, first of all, great show, great panel of guests. They all had great insights on pretty much a historic event. Me being firsthand there, working on the Capitol Arena concourse and seeing, as Mark Gray just mentioned, the drove of fans into a surprising outsider, a little bit from the New York perspective, the D.C. appeal and the particular demographic of black women. And it just was a different kind of experience in the way that they took it in. Might not have known all the players on hand, but were just there because of what the community meant to them. And particularly being there, it was interesting because, as I had mentioned before last week, about how they were going to handle the Mystics game that was already scheduled and the way that they, as a community, came together. And this is all underneath Ted Leonsis's umbrella of Monumental Sports and Entertainment. And it's here at the Capital One Arena how they would go ahead and direct that. And so they did. They worked together, and they pushed up their game to 4 p.m. and had their watch party now at 7 p.m. And what I proposed that was a mindset of let's try to compromise and get the entire community behind us. And I did see that. And on one hand, I look at it as, hey, they have a new audience that they've never seen before. As you know, we did the comparison of numbers for the Mystics game in general to watch an actual player on the court versus them on a Jumbotron elsewhere. And it didn't even amount to much. It was uncomparable. The fact that even though they were all there, the Caps fans screaming, let's go Caps, they were there. They're Washingtonians, and they support the area. And some of the season ticket holders for the Mystics, they were there, and they were able to share, in a sense, if you will.
So as a marketing professional yourself, it sounds like you're saying this was genius marketing to the one team that's doing well and on the verge of winning, creating history and winning a championship, to raise up and bring up not only the other team, but the communities that come with that team. Is that what I'm hearing?
Definitely. That's a fit with Joy Tidbit. You heard it here first, and essentially you heard it here beforehand in the mindset that is, let's compromise. It's a community affair. We have the same arena that we're sharing. So not only would I oblige to let you go ahead and have this time frame, but you'll generate those fans for us and create a fan base. And if you go back to the historical fact of, as Mark Gray said, as Bill Rowland had first mentioned in this entire show in the segment, was these, and you, particularly with the PAT, the pay attention topic, was that it's all caps, right? So everyone got behind it. But this wasn't an all caps area. At any affair, at any effect, it was basketball particularly. It was a community based out of Barry Farms at Georgetown and generating a factory to get to the NBA. We got Ewan, who eventually went to New York, but I just wanted to put that little tidbit in there, plug in for the New York fan base that's listening. But going back to the effect of 1974, them being here in the area and not really getting that support. Then you have Ovechkin, fast forward, coming in, you said rocking the red, kind of drumming up support. And then the list goes on and history is made, that kind of sense. What will that trickle over to for the women's side of things? And if you look, and I look at it as not just the marketing mind, but just some experiences in being in college. If you have a good football team, Alabama, then it trickles over to the basketball recruiting. And then you have it, all the other sports that aren't as major generating with revenue will be able to suck up in some of that cool gear, some of that good advertising, knowledge of this player is doing well, or this runner is doing great, or this particular individual has this now stage. So there's a story behind it.
You listen to Fit with Joy and the Extra Points Radio Show, and you're right about that. Now, I mean, you're a black woman, a sister, okay? So you heard Mark Gray talk about, you know, I saw black women coming out in droves, and then you just mentioned, you know, may not have known a Kuznetsov from a Beagle, but, you know, really was, I found the game entertaining. Now, you also are a basketball fan. I believe you played basketball throughout your years. What was the difference between this hockey, which you said, I really don't know the players, I don't know what icing is, this and that, versus the basketball series, which you know, you played it, you've lived it, but it kind of fell short, maybe? I mean, those are my words, that it wasn't entertaining. What did you see as a black woman now? What did you see as like, this is the one I'm going to watch, you know, or this is the one that's more appealing right now. Give me your thoughts on it. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, that's great. I go back to listening to Della Don and her particularly being, I think, a leader of the Mystics, a leader of different communities, and the underrepresented. And as you they know that it's Pride Week and there are different minority groups, women, blacks, that are discriminated against or don't have the same opportunities as our society would have the archetypical white male demographic. And as you see the D.C. change from, as Mark Gray talked about, Chocolate City to a vanilla swirl, there are different ideals. There are different kind of ways of looking behind it. And we can go, because this is the nation's capital and what is happening in the climate, to political. And I won't particularly go there. What I'll say is what she said is that Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, and the NBA in general, they don't market them. And what I emphasize is the story, getting to know the individual. The D.C. area didn't know the Capitals in 1974, and quite frankly, didn't care to know them. They had a team in the Washington Wizards, Bullets at the time, that were surmounting so many heights and winning championships and being what the D.C. area looked for, which was basketball. And so I think we got to know those players. We got to know Bobby Dandridge. We got to know Weston Silver. We got to know them because they were doing well on the court, but in the community as well. And that's what the Lynx did when they came here. The national champions that they were, they weren't invited to the White House. I had to do some research to see if any WNBA team was invited to the White House after winning a championship. So it was just interesting to see that effect. And what it really is just we want to be behind something that's winning. We want to be known for good things. As humans, our innate nature is to be supportive, to be in a group, to be able to root for a winner. And I think, in a sense, the bandwagon effect, that's just what it is. You see people enjoying themselves, having a good time. Well, what is this? And you get to know it. You learn the actual rules, and you learn the story behind the actual players. And just triumphing. The fact that Wizards, they got out of the playoffs. They get out of the playoffs. The Redskins, they have a whole bunch of organizational dysfunction. Actually being able to triumph from that. In Ovechkin's story, he was being the journeyman, being not the journeyman in the sense of leaving different the Wizards, with the Caps, he's been with us, but just sticking there and fighting it through. And I think that's innate to the human spirit, but especially, in a sense, my demographic, black women.
It's funny because I knew that stat about no WNBA team being invited to the White House. I believe the WNBA is, 20 years old? Am I correct?
Yeah, it passed 20 years in 2016-2017 season, so about 21 now or so.
Okay, so not just this current administration, but previous administrations. So that means both sides of the aisle have not invited the WNBA. I think that's a strong extra point and a strong stat. Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, always enlightening and educating our audience. We really appreciate that. Let me give a quick two-minute warning here. The two-minute warning is pretty simple. It's inclusion. If you look at this show, we've included everybody. We didn't even run a commercial because we've included everybody. I think when you include, you win. When you're diverse, you win. So speaking of winning, no predictions this week, but we're 4-0 last week. 4-0. So that sponsor, we really need you to get us to Vegas. That's what we need. So, hey, we're going to end the show this week. We could keep going for another full hour, but we can't. As always, the extra point is up.
Capitalizing good.
Center and hit it.